You are at the top of the three library steps. Look across the road, slightly to the left, and spot the white Georgian building with the white door, two bay windows either side, and ramps and rails going up. It's the doctor's surgery. Now, when our 50-year-old man steps out here as well, and happens upon seeing it, it reminds him of the source of his sadness. For he recently had to call out a doctor in the middle of the night to his house in Selwood Terrace, Fulham. Our 50-year-old thinks back to the recent events that took place in his house.
Oh dear, the bell. I need to answer it. Yes, I ought to answer the door right now, hadn't I?
But we find that our 50-year-old, as a private human creature, happens to be shy. He's quite different from you or me. We behave naturally under all circumstances, for why would a sane man behave otherwise? Our 50-year-old is different. To call the world's attention visually to the fact of his own existence is anguish to him. But give him a pen, or dare I say a paintbrush, and he is fearless. Now, it's your turn to be fearless. Descend the library steps, turn to your left, and begin to walk straight ahead past the residential houses, any one of which might be like the one in Selwood Terrace, where persistent knocking, humanity, and self-interest win over our 50-year-old. He goes instantly to open the front door, for the visitant is assuredly the doctor, come at last to see the sick man lying upstairs.
Oh, if only Leek could... If only Leek was well enough... Oh, dear. I must do this for poor Leek. Oh, dear. Yes, I'm coming.
Is Mr. Fowles?
Yes. How do you know who I... whose house this is? Was not just the number given at the surgery?
No, the name of the master of the house as well. This morning.
You are the doctor?
Yes. How's the invalid going on?
I can scarcely tell you. He's in bed, very quiet.
Good. When he came to my surgery earlier, I advised him to go to bed.
By the way, what's wrong with him, do you think?
Do you know? A chill? He had a loud cardiac murmur as well. When did the illness start, remind me?
Well, yesterday on the night boat as we returned to England, but it's got considerably worse in the last few hours.
Ah, yes. That's what he said when he came in to see me earlier. Might be anything. That's why I said to him I'd call anyhow tonight. Couldn't come any sooner. I've been on my feet since 6 o'clock this morning. You know what it is. GP's day.
It's very good of you to come. This way. I'm sorry there's no light.
Not at all. I'll strike a match.
You should have reached the corner of Disraeli Road now, where it joins Oxford Road. Turn left here and continue your stroll while I tell you that upstairs at Selwood Terrace, the sick man is Henry Leek. And Henry Leek is our 50-year-old's bad habit. While somewhat of a rascal, as his 50-year-old master guesses, Leek is a very perfect valet. Like you and me, he is never shy. He always does the natural thing naturally. He has become, little by little, indispensable to our 50-year-old gentleman, and the sole means of living communication between him and the universe of men. The master's shyness keeps the pair almost entirely out of England, and Leek sees everyone who has to be seen. He has done everything that involves personal contacts with his master for a quarter of a century now. Happily, Leek has never been ill. That is to say, not until this day of their sudden incognito arrival back in London to the inherited house in Selwood Terrace, which is so seldom ever used. Then, without warning, in the very act of making up his master's couch, Leek abandons the struggle with the insidious approach of disease, and since his own bed is not ready, he takes straight to his master's. He always does the natural thing naturally.
Here he is.
He's shivering.
Yes, in spite of all these blankets on this warm night. And his skin does seem, well, bluer than earlier.
Any women up?
No, there's only ourselves in the house.
It's all up with me, Doctor.
So it is, my boy, unless I get something hot into you. Well, hurry up and get some hot water, quick now. And brandy, and more blankets. Don't just stand there.
And this advice is for you as well. Don't hesitate in your route. Carry on down Oxford Road, crossing any side roads that you come to, until you reach Putney Bridge Road. But, unlike you, our 50-year-old ignores the doctor and remains rooted to the spot. So the doctor has to grab up the candlestick with an expression that says, "I can see that you're no good in a crisis," and he leads the way down to the kitchen. Unfortunately, the doctor turns out to be not very good in a crisis either, for some hours later, at around 6 a.m, our 50-year-old master asks anxiously,
"Will there have to be a public inquest?"
"No. I was present. Acute double pneumonia, it sometimes happens like that. I can give a certificate. But of course you will have to go to the registrar's and register the death."
Go to the registrar's? Me?"
"Yes. Who else? And where are Mr. Fowle's relatives to be found?"
"Mr. Fowle's relatives? But I am..."
"Yes, yes, the deceased's relatives. You look in shock, man. Maybe the truth of the matter is only just dawning on you, but death is part of life, and I must say..."
It is understanding rather than shock that fills our 50-year-old on the realisation that the doctor thinks that the dead valet's name is Fowle, that of himself, the master. All the sensitive timidity in our real Prime Fowle's character seizes swiftly at the mad chance of escape from any kind of public appearance as Prime Fowle. Why should he not let it be supposed that he, Priam Fowle, and not Henry Leake, has expired suddenly in Selwood Terrace at 5 a.m? He would then be free, utterly free.
"So you need to pull yourself together, man, and think about your master's relatives. They must be informed, naturally."
I don't think he had any, but... Oh, no, perhaps there was a distant cousin that he talked of once or twice, but has not seen since, well, he was 10, I think.
"And I presume you are his valet?"
"Yes."
"And what was your master's full name?"
Priam Fowle.
"Not the...
"Yes."
"Well, well."
And the deed is done. The doctor sees that the valet of the famous painter is exhausted and collapsed in a chair. The doctor, somewhat energised by the fame of his ex-patient, goes about helping with some of the preliminaries before leaving and allowing the valet to sleep in the chair until the snoring servant is rudely awakened some hours later by... You should be nearing the intersection of Putney Bridge Road by now, so keep on walking towards this corner.
"Yes, yes, yes, Doctor... Yes, I'm here."
"I am not the doctor. It is he who called me. I am Mr. Duncan Fowle, a solicitor, a cousin of your late employer." "What arrangements have you made for the day?"
Arrangements? None. I've been asleep.
You aren't very respectful. And here, is this letter upon the mat for you, Mr. Henry Leake?"
"Yes."
So this is Priam's second cousin, whom he has met only once as a boy. Never would he have recognised Duncan. Evidently it did not occur to Duncan to recognise him. People are apt to grow unrecognisable in the course of 40 years. After Duncan Fowle strides about the house ejaculating, "Ah!" or "Ha!" leaving Priam inert in the hall, he returns at length and summons Priam into the living room.
"What are your wages?"
£100 a year, I think."
"You think? Well, it is a good wage. And when were you last paid?"
The day before yesterday."
"You're very vague, I must say. However, here's a month's wages in lieu of notice. Put your things together and go. I shall have no further use for you. I'll make no observations of any kind. Now, please be good enough to dress. It is 3 o'clock. Then leave the house at once. Let me see your box of boxes before you go.
And with that, Priam soon finds himself out on the pavement on the wrong side of his own front door, free at last, in Leek's overcoat and carrying Leek's kit bag and tin trunk. You should find that you yourself have reached the corner of Oxford Road and Putney Bridge Road, so now turn to the next scene.